Jeff shared with our children, and it's a good reminder of where we started last week. Last week, we had the gift of Rachel, our ministry intern, sharing with us and preaching last week. And one of the things that has stuck with me that she said that Jeff reiterated this morning to our children was that in many ways, one of the ways Jesus fought that temptation was he allowed the identity God had given him, the promise of God, to continue to dwell. And so he allowed that to cultivate within him. And for us as a people of God, we often point to our baptism as our sign of God's claim upon our life. You are my child. You are mine with whom I greatly love and care. And so we were encouraged last week to allow the image of God, particularly that's given to us in our baptism, that reminder, to cultivate in us our identity instead of allowing all the loud voices around us scream and tell us who we are. And so it was a helpful reminder to our children, even this morning, that a consistent piece of this is God's Word. Well, then we come to this continued journey as we move towards Easter. And each year, as we move from Ash Wednesday to Easter, we read a number of stories of Jesus' ministry as he's moving throughout the land with his disciples, and ultimately as he's moving towards Jerusalem. Now, having just come back from the Holy Land a few weeks ago, I'm intrigued because the images, thankfully, come up. Now, granted, I traveled on roads that were nowhere anything close to what Jesus traveled, and I'm super grateful for that because I walked some of the places where he walked, and that would make for one exhausting journey to Jerusalem because quite literally you're walking up to get to Jerusalem. It's not a low place, it's a high place. And after leaving the Dead Sea and returning back to Jerusalem, you recognize how much climbing you do to get there. But there's an interesting piece in our story today that the Pharisees, the group we most often want to cast out of ministry with Jesus, they go, oh, it's those Pharisees. They always mean harm for Jesus. Well, in our story today, they might mix up your expectations a little. In our story today, it's the Pharisees who come to Jesus and say, hey, want you to have a heads up, your life's in danger. Staying here will not be good for you. You need to get out of here. Herod wants your life. Now, you may not remember, but Herod is the ruler in this area, and he is, as best we can put it, paranoid. He's paranoid of anybody who would threaten his power, would threaten his way of thinking, right? He killed John the Baptist because John the Baptist was one of those who kept calling into question not only his marriage and but the way he was acting, called him out on it. And so, of course, the story goes that one of Herod's daughters asks for, dances for the crowd, which we can talk about the party and that mess later, because that's what it is. And she, with her mother, they connive to realize this is our chance to get rid of that John the Baptist. And so they ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. They ask for his life. And of course, Herod, in front of all of these who have power, realizes he can't look weak, and so he has him killed. And so you can imagine then that word is traveled. So when they come to Jesus and they say, you need to get out of here, there's a genuine kind of concern that they have underneath it. Now, we could argue they have some self-interest in that concern as well, because if it comes for one who's connected to them, that means their life and livelihood is in danger as well. So in our story, this is kind of the preamble, the kickoff, is that Jesus has been talking, and he begins to talk more and more about the fact that his life will end. But in this story, he takes an odd turn as he talks about that his death that's impending. Because in this one, the Pharisees are concerned that that's going to happen quickly, and Jesus says something to them. One, he says, go tell that fox, look, tell them about the ministry. Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. The third day I'll complete my work. But he says at the end of that, it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Now, what he's saying in the midst of this is he knows that there's a time that's been set. And outside that season, no matter who it is, isn't going to mess with it. Jesus is very much understanding his purpose and his role. He's holding on to that identity God has given him as he heads towards Jerusalem. And so that gives him a sense of security, of knowing I'm continuing to do the work of God. But there's an interesting part of our text today that I want to pull out for us that I think speaks to us particularly in this season of Lent. It's the phrase that comes after it, that comes out of the book of Psalms. It's that last piece, the book of Psalm, but before the quote of the book of Psalm was, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. It's not often in the scripture that we lift up, sadly, that we use feminine imagery of God. Oftentimes we run to God being either an inanimate object, strong tower, mighty God. We use language that oftentimes is masculine and points to something we can see and hold on to. And we overlook images like a hen who wants to gather up her chicks. Psalm 91 has that image as well, that I will cover you with my wings. It's what a mother hen would do to protect the chicks. But in this story, what's interesting is that we hear that image used and how I've wanted to gather you, but you didn't want it. You ran away, right? You've seen that happen, right? If you're like most folks, if you found yourself on YouTube, you could find a handful of videos of any animal across the spectrum of from dog to cat trying to pull in its young, and they wander off in every direction, right? Whether it's ducks or kittens or puppies, or in this case, chicks. So you can kind of imagine then for a moment that the chaos that mother hen must go through trying to pull in her young. And here's the thing we don't want to talk about. We become those chicks that wander off. Jesus in this story is lamenting that Jerusalem doesn't understand what God is doing in their midst. They can't see it. It's not a word of condemnation. It's a word of lament. If you would just let me gather you up, you continue to run about and you don't allow me to cover you, to bring you in. This last week, without a doubt, we could run through our news stories and find a number of times where things are running amok. Right? On Friday, there was a gunman that entered a place of worship, killing 50 and injuring many others. If you look around, you'll realize there is destruction and brokenness at every turn. It didn't take long. We asked our youth this morning in Sunday school, what are some of the top news stories? In part because it gave me a chance to see what they most click on their phone. And so I realized some of them had only chosen sports channels. And so, without a doubt, this last week, that was a lot of attention. And even as we go into the next week. But of course, the top news story becomes the shooting in New Zealand. But by this weekend, it's now a conversation about what are we going to do about guns in New Zealand. And they're having that conversation. And the second one right next to it, of course, is the cheating scandal. And the sense that money can make it possible for anybody to get into the college if you just have the means by which to pay for it until you get in trouble for it. And then everybody gets in an uproar. What's interesting, though, as I say to our young people, is this the first time? Oh, no, this has been happening a long time. Will it be the last? Nope. And I went, really? And they went, no, it's not going to change things because there will always be ways in which we will use power and money and prestige to get what we want. They've kind of come to know that's the reality of the world in which we live, to which I have to say to our story for today, maybe we need to pause and reflect and look at the world around us, because maybe Jesus is weeping and lamenting, oh, you United States of America, oh, you Nashville, oh, you Bellevue, how I long for you to be covered in, to know that there's a different way of living. Yet, sadly, our young people continue to think it's just the way the world is. And they look to us as adults and grandparents to say that there's a different way of living. And honestly, we read it, but I sometimes wonder if we're willing to embrace it. Are we willing to embrace the kingdom of God in such a way, or the kingdom of God, this way of being in relationship and being in community that's different, that doesn't say that's just the way it is? Would we be those who would cry out that the world is the way it is? Sure, we can have hard conversations, right? We've been in the midst of that. Wouldn't Jesus be lamenting over the United Methodist Church and the brokenness that we've become? That we hurt one another, we scream at one another, yet we've not learned how to be in relationship with one another. To listen to one another's stories, to see one another as more than a position or a political party ideology, you know, whatever political party we hold, we get stuck on those things and we don't see one another. And we don't see that the God who knows us, who gives us identity in our baptism, is seeking to draw us in. All of us. That God actually desires for us to have healing and wholeness, Republicans and Democrats and independents and everything in between. Those that are within the United Methodist Church across the spectrum, God is desiring for us to experience a new sense of wholeness and healing. We make it that we would run opposite directions, and the challenge is, in the midst of it, we miss the one who calls us by name. And so, within the Christian tradition, particularly within the United Methodist Church and our tradition, Lent has become a season where we try to clear some space, where we try to clear some space so that God can speak to us. We put practices in place, we give up stuff, right? I always seem to hear more about the chocolate and soft drinks we give up than the other list. But outside in our welcome center, you may notice the tree that is covered in all the black cards where we've written things we're seeking to let go of. What was most interesting, I joined you in that. For me, I have to give up my unhealthy relationship with food. I stress eat. I know it. I think I'm hungry, and I'm just tired. And so I'm having to teach myself, you do not need this at 9:30 at night. But it sounds great, right? I have this conversation with myself every day because I'll run throughout the day and forget to stop and eat, and then I'm really hungry, and so then I eat really unhealthy. And so for me, one of the things I'm working on this Lent is my relationship with food. Like, I need a better relationship with it. And our young people, when I asked them that, I said, here's my example. What would be some ways to do that? They had great suggestions. You know what their number one was? You'll be thrilled to hear this. You need to come up with a grocery list so you can eat more intentionally. I went, all right, our young people get it better than us. You need to intentionally plan for what you're going to eat and come up with a better grocery list. They didn't say that I would, that was literally their number one and number two suggestion. So our young people get it. So maybe I need to spend some more time with them. I'm grateful for that. But here's the thing that was most telling to me, and maybe one we need to spend some time with as a congregation. The number one response that's on those pieces of paper out there is anger. I want you to sit with that for a minute, church. The number one thing that we have said as a congregation that we're most struggling with, that we want to let go of, is anger. I'm super grateful of the vulnerability and the honesty it took to write that down. So for those of you who that was your word, that's your emotion, one, no, you're in good company. I'm with you. Because it's hard in the world we live in right now not to be really angry and all the time. From the yelling and the screaming to the chaos to the diminishing of one another, it's not about agreeing to disagree, because now when we disagree, we just diminish and do harm to the other instead of even acknowledging them as a person. So I'm not surprised in some ways. And when I share that with our youth, they went, no, I'm not surprised at all. And listen, these are young people that aren't spending every day looking at the nightly news. But they weren't surprised when I said that among us as a people, as a community right here, that our number one thing we've named that we want to work on letting go of this Lent is anger. Now, I don't know exactly what that anger is directed at. You would know that better than anyone, maybe. It might be at a relationship, at a loved one who's doing harm still, who hasn't chosen a different way of living, whether they're struggling with addiction or they're workaholics or whatever that list might be, that there's an anger in a relationship that's broken, that's not been reconciled, and that's getting worse. Right? It could be anger over what you see every single night when you turn on the nightly news. Our bishop this last week, and as we were gathered for spiritual life retreat, said that maybe we as a people should be paying attention to getting some variety in our news stations. Because if you're not careful, you can just hear one side and a whole bunch of yelling about it. And so if we're not careful, then we just allow that to take on our way of thinking, and we just start perpetuating it. We become the shouting ones because of what we allow to be input. That becomes our output. Now, he said a little more directly, and he even named the news station with which he was frustrated, and I could watch the room change. I went, know which station they watch, right? He named it among a group of clergy. So it was a safe place, and as he named some of that and pointed to it, I could see those get uncomfortable. I was on the soundboard. I was in the back. But here's the thing. Whatever you're inputting will become your output. So if all you're watching is a bunch of yelling, screaming, angry folk, guess what you're going to become? Yelling, angry, screaming folk. And so Lent is meant to be a time where we name that which we need to let go of, and then we work to create some space. One of the hardest things that I recall doing, not only in counseling, but just in my own inner spiritual work, has been learning to sit with what I'm feeling. To name that and then say, how does that affect my body? What is most coming to mind when I allow that word to sit there? You know, anger actually can reside within our body. It can affect our whole way of being, not just our mind, but our whole way of being. It can plant itself within our body somewhere, and we can begin to feel it. And so I would invite you, one step to begin to learn how to let go of is, where does it locate itself? Where does it locate itself? Is it within our gut that we just feel this push that we just want to fight against something? Is it in our hands? Do we clench our hands and our face, that our eyes and our whole face seems to crunch in when we say that word and we sit with it? And so then all we can express when people around us see us is this. And so when you're at this position, needless to say, people walk away, they push away for fear that you might react or be angry at them. So each Sunday, over the next, today and next week, we're going to invite you again to continue to work with us. If you haven't had a chance to write down that thing which you're working to let go of, maybe you've already participated and you've started that work. And we've provided a devotional guide which allows for journaling and reading. It has a coloring page with it as well. This week we'll have a Visio Divina set up in the chapel where you can come and reflect and use images, not just words, but images to reflect. What we're trying to do as a church is create some space where that thing that you've named that you're trying to let go of, you can kind of keep in front of you, bringing it to God and kind of saying, Lord, the only way I know to cultivate that identity that Rachel spoke of last week, that I can cultivate a sense of trust that you are truly trying to gather us in, is I've got to name that which keeps you at arm's length. So to cultivate that trust upon God, that sense that God truly cares for us and wants to draw us in, we've got to name the things that keep us running away from God. Sometimes I wonder if we aren't angry because we thought we could do it on our own, and guess what we figured out? We can't. And so that idea of self-reliance is crumbling, and the only thing we know to do is keep fighting for more of it. And so the hardest thing to do is to name that I can't do it on my own. I'm dependent on God, and I'm interdependent on you. We need one another. So in this Lenten season today, whatever it is you're letting go of, I'm inviting you to bring that before God. If you haven't had a chance to write it as an act of putting it truly in front of you, you can do that after worship today. But all the reason we're letting go of it is so that God can cultivate within us a sense of trust that God is trying to draw us in as a mother hen. And a mother hen cares for its chicks. God cares for you. Please don't hang on to that which is keeping you from experiencing God's love and care. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, it's a hard work to name that which might keep you at arm's distance. Whether it be anger or many other words, our reliance on ourselves, our attachment to food. Lord, that list is long, particularly when we acknowledge that sometimes we try to do it all by ourselves. And so we run away from you, who is like that mother hen, seeking to draw us in, to create care and love, to remind us who we are and whose we are as your children. So be with us here as a community of faith. Be with those that listen online. Help, O Lord, us to acknowledge and put before you those things which draw us away from you, whether it be a feeling, an emotion, a relationship. Give us the courage to name it before you in prayer. And remind us that you'll work with us as we journey this 40 days towards Easter. Thank you for these who are gathered, for the connections they have and the families and friendships and networks they're a part of. Bless the work of their hands, O God, this day, as they come before you more honestly, more vulnerably. In Jesus' name.